Yeah, thank you, worship team, for leading us in that. Yes, wow, it's good to be back here, and it's first time like up here. I feel like way too elevated right now. Just like I like down there being close, you know, and all of that. But yeah, it's good to be here and to see so many people here and worshiping together, right? I'm sure that it feels different, and you know, there's great benefits to that. And I see you guys are being safe, which is great, you know. Like always, you know, I miss not seeing Ben and Ruth here, but I'm sure they're having a great time elsewhere. I know they're probably watching in right now, making sure I'm not like saying some wrong stuff or something like that. But it's good to be back here. Today is supposed to be a Gospel Sunday, I believe, right? The fifth Sunday of every month is a Gospel Sunday, and I'm glad to be here to share that message with you. And as you know, it was shared earlier, I do work as a lead coach for the Bay Area. I'm just one of the few lead coaches. And what I do for the National School Project is we want to help students lead in their schools, lead a gospel movement. We want to see churches come to support them, and we want to see Christian leaders multiply in those schools. And we want to see those schools come to know Jesus and have an understanding of his love for them, and then respond, have an opportunity to respond to that gospel message. So if you're interested in perhaps being a part of your Christian club at your school, or if you're interested in starting one, perhaps your school doesn't have one, I love to talk with you about that. So feel free to reach out to Ben, and then I'll just kind of connect with them. So just have a chat with them. You know, maybe you're already part of one, but you want to figure out, okay, well, like, how can we as a club be more missional? You know, how can we reach our students, our friends with the gospel? So as I was, settling into this new position at my church as a youth pastor, you know, I decided to read this book that I had to read when I was in seminary, and it's written by Richard A. Ross. He was one of my seminary professors, and he's been doing youth ministry for over 30 years. He's probably like one of the most passionate like people I've met. You know, he just loves Jesus and he loves students. So I'm like, whoa! Like, it's great to learn from this guy. And he wrote this book called "The Senior Pastor and the Reformation of Youth Ministry." And in that book, he writes this. Right, research has shown that about half of the teenagers will leave church after high school, okay, half, and most will never return. About 40% will become lethargic church adults, showing little transformation and making very little kingdom impact. And only 10% of these teenagers will become world-changing disciples. And thus, the question is never, right, is our current youth attendance acceptable? Right, the question rather should be, is 10% of our youth attendance an acceptable number of young disciples? All right, and now when I reread this, I was like, oh my goodness, like, this is such a reminder for me, you know, as I start. And this is, you know, a reminder of me that we as churches, that we have a lot of work to do, you know. Like, a lot of churches, perhaps we're failing, right? We're failing this mission, right? We're failing to make disciples. And church, you know, I just want to remind you today that this world, right, it's out to destroy you. You know, this world, it really wants to steal your heart. This world, it wants to captivate you with its lies. And it's trying to, tell you things that are contrary to the truth that we find in the Bible, in the scriptures. And the solution that Paul presents to us today, and I want us to kind of open up to the book of Colossians. And what Paul, he wants us to tell us today is that we must be rooted, and we must be built up, right, in him, in Christ, and established into faith, right? That's what we need to be doing, right? We need to be rooted. We need to be built up and established into faith. So if you have your Bibles today, I want you guys to turn to Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. So it is going to be up on the screens, but if you have a physical copy or if you have your phone, I want you guys to kind of perhaps look at it, you know, yourself from there as you follow along, you know, with the message today. So I'm going to be reading from from my Bible, and it's the HCSB. So I want you to kind of follow yours as well. And I'm going to read in chapter 2, verse 1. So Paul he writes, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, For those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. I'm saying this so that none will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well-ordered you are and the strength of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world and not based on Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in him in a circumcision not done with hands by putting off the body of flesh in a circumcision of the Messiah. Having been buried in him in baptism, you were also raised in him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with all his obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. Amen. So Paul, he's writing to this church in Colossae, and it's a church that he didn't plant, actually. But rather, it was planted by a fellow brother, Epaphras, and most likely Paul, he's never met this group, or maybe if he has, he's only met a few of them, right? And yet he writes to them because he hears of some concerning news brought to him through his brother Epaphras. And apparently certain teachings had began to spread in his church that somehow, Christ wasn't enough, okay? Christ wasn't enough. Christ wasn't enough for godly life, right? Christ wasn't enough to experience abundant life. Right? Christ wasn't enough to save you from your sins. Right? Christ wasn't enough to provide salvation. And perhaps, Jesus Christ wasn't even unique. Perhaps he was just one of the many gods out there that would be a good thing if you also worshipped. Right? It's very common in Japan. When I was living in Japan and I did some missions there, one of the things that we faced a lot as missionaries was helping Japanese people to understand that Jesus isn't just a god, right? Because they actually might be pretty willing to accept Jesus and then just place him in the temple with a bunch of idols. But we had to show them that Jesus, he's not like other gods, right? He is the one true God, right? And how Jesus, he's different, he's unique, and he's the only way, right? And Paul, he continues to write that these false teachings taught that in the universe there were powers, right? There were mysteries to be discovered, right? There were treasures of wisdom and knowledge and philosophies to grasp. There were human traditions to follow, and additioning to follow the work of Christ and in addition to the person of Christ, you wanted to go for all these things as well, because Jesus wasn't enough. That we had to place our faith in these earthly things as well. So I want you guys to kind of question, is Jesus unique? So maybe some of you guys are asking, is Jesus enough to save, right? Is Jesus enough for abundant life? And these are questions that the early church faced. And yet, we still face them today. Right? We still face them today. So the idea of being rooted, the idea of being built up is this, right? So Paul here gives us two pictures. The word for rooted is this idea of this tree that's being planted in soil, right? And its roots are going deep and it's getting nourishment, right? It's going deep and it's kind of tapping into that. Right? The idea of being built up is having a foundation, right, that is firm, that is stable, that is able to have something like a building that's be able to build on top of that, right? And likewise, that's what we need as Christians, right? If we're going to be resistant to the storm that comes against us, if we're going to be resistant to those human philosophies, right, that say, you know, things contrary to the Bible, right, we need to have a firm foundation, right? We need to be rooted. For this world, it's going to come at you with a lot of plausible arguments, right? It's going to come with you saying that, you know, Jesus isn't enough, and it's going to try and take you captive. And the idea that Paul, he gives here when he says captive is actually this idea of slavery, where the conquerors, they would enslave the people that they conquered. And then they would take them and they would bring them back or to their country, you know, to be slaves. And, you know, that's the idea, is that, you know, these thoughts out there, right, these other teachings, you know, these other worldviews and belief systems, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to enslave you. And Paul, he warns against that, right? Slavery through philosophy, which is a system of beliefs. And, you know, one of them, the ones that he shows here is this human tradition. It's teachings that are passed down from mouth to mouth. And I want you guys to understand that this emphasis is human teachings, right? Human teachings passed down. It's not from God. Or one article put it this way, is that these Gnostics, okay, so these Gnostics, they claim to possess an elevated knowledge, okay, a higher truth, right, that only a few certain selected people knew. So, like these, so certain people, they would say, Jesus, you know, he taught maybe some of the apostles some specific things, or maybe he only taught Mary certain things, right? And only these certain people, they passed down these things, and if you didn't have it, then you were lacking, right? If you didn't have that, if you didn't know that, then you were in danger, right? These Gnostics claim to possess a higher knowledge, not necessarily from the Bible, but perhaps from this mystical higher plane. And they saw themselves as higher up, as deeper in knowledge of and understanding of God. And recently, I was on this long car ride. You know, I was going down to LA for National School Project training, and you know, I had a friend, and we were kind of chatting on the car. And he told me that when he was in high school, he actually got involved with this cult. And I was like, oh wow, this is the story that I need for this long trip, you know, like this is about to get real interesting. So I, you know, he started sharing with me that, you know, when, you know, he's just walking his dog one day on San Jose State campus, right? That's just in this area, right? San Jose State. And then he's walking his dog, and this cute girl comes up to him, and she's like, hey, do you want to go to a Bible study? Would you be interested in going to a Bible study? And he's like, oh yeah, like, you know, why not? Like, sure, like I go to Bible study, like so, you know, so he goes and he's just, you know, he's blown away by all these students, you know, crammed in this room. You know, they have their Bibles out, you know, they're taking notes, and he's like, oh wow, this is awesome. Like all these young people, like he's never experienced this before. They're all like hungry to learn about God, and they're reading the Bible. And then the people who are teaching, you know, they seem very knowledgeable. Like very, you know, professional. Like, you know, they know how to quote scripture. You know, they know how to explain it, and you're just so blown away by it. And then slowly, like after he went there for, you know, many weeks and many months, he started to kind of like see some sort of things, some kind of red flags. Like these teachers, they you know, they claim to have some exclusive knowledge of the Bible, of God, and you know. They claimed that, you know, in the Bible there were like certain numbers that meant things, and there was these ciphers and these codes that you just you know that needed to be cracked and understood and had hidden meanings, right? That you wouldn't be able to understand, you know, if someone didn't teach you it. And later on, he found out that wow, faith in Jesus wasn't enough for salvation. He started to get kind of confused because that's not what he heard at church, right? That I also need to place my faith in the founder? Like, what's going on here, you know? Very confused. So he began to kind of push back on that, and he kind of began to confront some of the leaders. It's like, hey, you know, like, but the Bible says this here in Romans. Like, I don't know, like what do you say to that? So, you know, like, his leaders, you know, they started kind of, like, saying, oh, you know, man, if you don't believe this, then you're not saved, and you're going to hell, Right? So think about it as a high schooler, you know, like, you know, you just wanted to go to this Bible study and meet this cute girl, and suddenly someone tells you that you're not a Christian and you're going to hell, right? When you thought that you're a Christian. So, like, you know, it was like crazy. It was crazy. You know, like these false teachers, they're going to be able to, like, you know, like, dance around you with scripture. You know, they're going to be able to cross you up, you know, with all these, like biblical stuff. And if you're not careful, right, if you're not careful, if you're not rooted, if you're not firmly planted, right, if you don't have a strong foundation of the faith, you know, you're going to be swayed. You're going to be swayed. And then Paul, he continues to say other things, like the elemental spirits of the world. Some scholars, they believe that it's actually referring to some form of astrology, perhaps, where, you know, these stars, you know, need to be examined, right? And these stars, they reveal something about the future. This ancient culture was actually very ingrained in this kind of supernatural stuff, right? It's like, if I have a big decision, you know, I want to go first and consult. Right, if I'm going to go to war with somebody, or if I want to perhaps like start a business or something like that, or if I want to make some big decision, I want to first consult. Because I believe that, you know, the stars have something to tell me. People are telling me that. And it tells me that what my fate is, that I can't change my fate. And basically, I'm dealt a hand of cards, and I just need to make the best of what I have with this hand. Unless you have this secret formula. Okay, you have this secret knowledge, this code that can release you and break you, right, from your fate. That's what these people believed. And if you couldn't, then basically you're doomed, right? You have no hope. You have no hope. You have no salvation, right? You have no peace. And Paul, he continues to say, well, what about circumcision, right? Some of you guys are hearing that in order to become a Christian, right, in order to receive salvation, you need to be circumcised. Our circumcision, what was that? It was this practice that God, you know, gave to Abraham and says, you know, this is a mark of our covenant, right? This is a physical mark that you needed to be circumcised, right? That this was it was a meaningful act. And all males, they would need to be circumcised. And if you wanted to participate, you know, perhaps in the Passover or things like that, and you're a foreigner, well, you need to be circumcised. That faith, right, in Jesus Christ alone was not enough. Was not enough. So what we really observe, you know, in this chapter is, you know, the church is facing perhaps, you know, a mix of this Gnosticism and Judaism, right? It's kind of this cross, perhaps, or a mix of these two. And they're faced with that. They're challenged with that. And we as Christians, you know, we're also faced with certain things that the world is telling us, right? That Jesus Christ is not enough. But what I want to say to you today is that just like this church, it was struggling with, can I do both? What if I can do both, right? What if I take, you know, the best of what God has to offer and also the best of what this world has to offer me, right? And then I'll mix it together. You know, it'll work better, right? Maybe I'll be more secure. Like the Japanese people might think, you know, if I just add Jesus in, well, then Jesus can probably do something that the other gods can't, right? Perhaps, and then, you know, I have better protection, you know? Why not add another layer of fence, right, around me to protect me or something, right? But Paul's saying no, right? If you believe in the gospel, that means you surrender to Jesus Christ. You surrender to God, and you obey his ways. And then choosing to serve other things, lesser things, to enslave yourself back to those things, like, why would you do that? Jesus freed you from all that. Why would you go back to that? Why would you subject yourself back to the slavery of this world? You know, recently I watched this this Marvel TV show. It's called Loki. I don't know how many Marvel fans we have out here, right? Loki. And I really loved it. I was like, man, it's thought-provoking, right? It's fun. It's witty, you know? It's like, you know, it plays around with all these different concepts, you know, of time and all that, right? And then I'm like, oh, interested to see how it connects, you know, into, like, you know, the next phase and then how, like, you know, it tied, you know, last phase and all that, right? It was, like, super, super cool. I promise I won't spoil like, things for you, but basically, like, I saw a couple of themes in the series, right? I saw themes of truth, right? What's the truth? Who's telling the truth? Reality. What's real, you know? What's your reality? What's my reality? Power and authority. What can you do, right? What can you control, right? What can you change? Trust. Are you who you say you are? Are you going to do what you say you're going to do? Can I trust you to watch my back? You know, all these different things, right? Trust. You know, and as I was watching this series, I kept thinking to myself that, you know, man, I'm so glad that my life is not placed in the hands of a Loki. Okay, that my salvation is not dependent on a Loki. Okay, because as I was watching this show, I'm like, any god, any super being, or any power here, like anything that seemed like it could control or have any sort of authority, like I was just like disappointed in the end. I was so disappointed. Like they, like each person, you know, like they tried to protect or something, you know, they tried to do something, but in the end, you know, there was this, you know, I just felt a lack of like, whoa, like they're so below Jesus Christ, the God, you know, the God of this Bible. Right, they were limited, right? And as you guys have watched into the Avengers and all that in the past, you realize that, you know, like these people are limited, right? They don't have all the power. They don't have all the authority. They don't have all wisdom and all knowledge. They don't. And you're going to be disappointed if you place your hope and your trust in these people, right? So if you are not a Christian, you know, I invite you to consider what hope you have for your life, right? What assurance do you have for your soul, okay? Do you have peace in your heart? Or are you troubled? Do you have fear? Are you in doubt? Do you feel empty even after you follow this world and you consume what it tells you that you need? I spoke with a student yesterday at one of our National School Project events, and this student, he went on stage and he gave this basically like kind of like a testimony of, you know, of kind of like who he is and how he came to know, you know, like why does he want to do this Christian club thing, right? Why does he want to share the gospel? And then I was so intrigued by his story that I came up to him afterwards and I was like, hey, you know, like I was so encouraged, like could you tell me a little more about your story? And basically he told me that during COVID, he began to question a lot about life. Right? He began to question, like, because death, like, death was, like, this thing that became real to him. Right? In the past, you probably just, you know, go to school, right? And then you just go home, you know, you do your activities, right? You hang out with your friends and whatnot, and then that's it. But suddenly, like, everything changed. You know, you can't go to school, right? COVID, right? You know, like you can't, you know, maybe a lot of your extracurriculars got canceled because of COVID, right? Perhaps you have family members that are, or yourself, you know, get COVID, right? People are dying, you know, hear the news, right? All of that. And then he's like, suddenly he began to sit down and ponder about life. Like, what is my purpose? What am I living for? And what's at the end? What happens when I die? And he began to despair because he couldn't find an answer. Or he couldn't find a good answer that could satisfy him. So where did he go? He went on TikTok. And you know, he came into contact with the gospel on TikTok, okay? And, you know, when I heard that, I was like, I was like, you know, I was like, in my mind, I was kind of cringing. I was like, oh man, like, you get all types of stuff on TikTok, you know, like, and you know, like, people always talk bad about it because they're like, you know, there's a lot of like TikTok pastors and like people with bad theology and like heretical stuff and like, you know, like, it's just not a good thing. But then I'm like, okay, like, you know, it did something. You know, I'm not encouraging that, right? I'm not encouraging that. But, you know, if you have an account or something and you want to share the gospel, go for it. Right? But, you know, glory to God, this student found a glimpse of hope, right? Found a glimpse of hope through the good news of Jesus Christ. And for Christians ourselves, we need to be reminded of this good news. And that's what Paul, he writes. Right, that's what he goes on to say after circumcision. What does he say about it? Right, let's take a look. He says, "You are dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh." Right, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with his obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Right? Isn't that the gospel right there? That's the gospel, right? That we were once dead in our trespasses, okay, in our sins, and that we offended God, or we were in rebellion against God, a holy God. And because God is a just God, and God is a holy God, you know, he can't let that slide, right? Or else he wouldn't be a good God. He wanted to be a just God, so he had to do something about it, and he needs to punish these offenses. And in here, in this legal sense, it's kind of like this payment that needs to be made. Okay, like I was at a shopping mall, and someone scratched my car. Okay, I have this long like black streak, you know, and I'm like, I was really upset. I was like, someone should have left a note, right? Saying like, oh, I scratched your car, like, here's my phone number, call me, and then like, get insurance involved and all that. But there's nothing, right? And I was really upset. I'm like, there needs to be some kind of justice, right? So someone needs to pay for this wrong. And we have that feeling as well. We have that conscience. But we are the ones who wronged God. And because of that, what we earn is death, is spiritual death and hell. And we cannot clear this debt ourselves, because the only way to do that, you know, is if someone who is perfect and unblemished takes our place. The only person who could do that is God in the flesh, right? Jesus Christ. He's the only one who could do that. Jesus, he willingly took our place on the cross, right? This Roman torture device for the worst of criminals. Jesus took our place and he died so that we could live. So that our debt could be canceled. And I want you guys to look at this. It says in verse 14, right? It says, he erased the certificate of debt with his obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. You know what Jesus did? When Jesus was nailed to the cross, that means your sin was nailed to the cross. And with his death, your sins were put to death. Right? Amen? And because he rose from the dead, you are also alive in him. And that's what the Bible says here. That you are now a new person, a new identity. Okay? You are changed. You are a child of God. That's what it's written here. And what What God wants is that he wants to have a relationship with you because he loves you. And this was the kind of the turning point for the student, was that when he finally understood the gospel, because he always thought that, you know, Christianity was like this weird religious thing where just like really good people try to get together and be really good people, you know? And there was just so just very religious, you know, it was very strange to him. But when he found out that it was a relationship with God, and that someone actually loved him and died for him so that he could live, everything changed. He said a light bulb, a spark just went off, and everything made sense. I want you guys to think about that, okay? If you're a Christian, don't forget that. Don't forget what your relationship is with God. And I know if you're not a Christian, I want to invite you to respond to this, okay? To respond to what Jesus has done for you. Consider whether you want to place your faith in this person today, in Jesus Christ today. And, you know, I invite you to look at your life to see, you know, am I perfect? Am I perfect? And if the answer is no, then what the Bible says is true about, you know, me and my sins leading to death, then perhaps you would want to repent of your ways and place your faith in Jesus Christ to surrender your life to God. And if you're doing that today, if you want to do that today, if you, you know, I invite you to speak, you know, with a Christian in your life, okay? With a Christian in your life, someone who you could trust, or, you know, maybe you don't even really know that person that well, but I want you to share that, okay? And that person can help you to figure out what that next step looks like for you, right? Maybe if you're here, perhaps talk with, you know, your small group leader, or talk with, you know, a pastor or a friend or someone here, okay, that is a Christian. And for Christians, you know, I met a lot of people who've been going to church for their entire lives, okay, but when they look at their faith, they wonder, why am I not more rooted up? Why am I not more built up? When I look at them and they understand the gospel, I'm like you've been going to church your whole life, you know, like literally, like, you know, some people that I met, like it could be a youth, like they've been in church for their whole life, but you know they don't know the gospel, they don't know the gospel, right? They're not able to discern like what's truth, what's a lie. Right? And then when things come, they get swayed, right? And I see young people leave the church, right? As we saw the statistics, I saw young people leave the church. And I see people who said that they were Christian in high school or something suddenly walk away from God in college. And once post-grad comes and all of that, man, they're just even more busy and they don't have any time to think about anything spiritual. So I'm saying we got to wake up, right? We got to wake up. We cannot sit idly by and just watch generation after generation just waste away, okay? We got to wake up as a church. And I don't know what you're facing, okay? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what complex situation or life thing that you have going on. But I want to challenge you today, okay, to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Now ask him to reveal to you what needs to be done, right, in your life. I seek the Lord. What is God saying to you today? What's your next step? Perhaps it's putting some effort into, you know, trying to understand the culture these days. Maybe you need to do some research, right? Perhaps it's trying to learn more about what kind of philosophies are going on and to figure out, you know, what does Scripture say about that? Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe what you need to work on is maybe you need to memorize more scripture verses, okay? So that when you're faced with things, you can defend against that, right? You need to put on the whole armor of God. You know, perhaps you need to pause and read the scriptures, and perhaps you need to just take time just to worship Jesus and just to see how amazing and awesome he is, that he is better than everything else, that he is someone that you can depend on, that he is worth more, and that he is more than enough for you. Perhaps that is what you need to spend time and figure out, right? Perhaps maybe it's you need to surrender a part of your life to God today. Perhaps here's this part that you've been compartmentalizing. You know that, you know, this is my thing and this is God or what you can have, right? This is who I am at church and then or whatever, like, you know, perhaps that's what you need to do. Right? I really believe that God, he has great things in store for you. You know, God wants more for you than probably what you want for yourself. Right? God wants to see you have to be living right in the Spirit. Right? God wants you to wake up. I believe that God, he wants you to experience him more fully, to understand him more deeply. And I know that, you know, when I talk with Ben, you know, Ben, he really cares for you guys. He really does. So if you have anything, you know, on your mind, you know, I really encourage you to reach out, right? To reach out. Reach out to your leaders here. They'd be more than happy to talk with you, you know? You're not alone in this. You're not alone in this. Okay? You know, man, I know I've said a lot of things today, but I know I just want to pray for you guys right now, if that's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, or we come before you humbly, and we recognize, Lord, that, you know, we need to just come back to your realization of how amazing and awesome you are, God. Lord, that in you, that we can find hope, Lord, that we can find joy, that we can find peace. That nothing in this world, Lord, is better than you. Perhaps, Lord, we need to receive a refreshing of our spirit, Lord. Perhaps you need to, Lord, be renewing our minds daily, God. Lord, would you do a work in our hearts today? Help us, Lord, to seek you, to desire you. Lord, I ask that you would really just bring us to a point of desperation that to see that we need you, God. That we don't only come to you with you know when we have you know these asks and all that, God, but we come to you because that you are glorious and you are better and you are more awesome than anything in this world. Help us to see that, Lord. We want to experience you more fully and more deeply this year, Lord. I ask that you know that you would that you would be changing this church, Lord, into more and more the image of your Son Jesus Christ, God. That your will would be done in this midst. Or help us to understand, Lord, your love for us and your deep, deep faithfulness. Or we praise you for who you are. Or we thank you for your scriptures that help us to understand and what our church is supposed to be like. Or would we be a church, and a group of Christians or outside of these statistics, Lord, that we can be a change. Help us to make a difference in that area and impact for your kingdom. All right, pray this in the name of Jesus.